Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Winning Shot family, listen, it's been a long time. It's been a minute, for real. But we still here, and we back again. Thank y'all for joining the Winning Shot podcast here with John, Hundo, and Colin. We truly appreciate the love, the support that y'all continue to show us and keep us on our toes. It's been a while since we've been here and talking to y'all. It's a lot has happened in the sports world. We've seen the MLB World Series come to an end with another Dodgers championship. We have seen now the return of college men's and women's basketball. We've seen some wonderful performances both ways. And now we are also seeing, of course, the NBA has had returns since the last time we started the podcast. We're a little bit deeper into our NFL season, beginning playoff pushes for certain teams. And so we have a lot to discuss. Coaches have been fired. Coaches have been hired in college football specifically. And so now is the time for us to give our opinions and to discuss what has been going on here in the great state of the United States of America in these sports worlds. So, fellas, before we get really into the nitty, into the gritty, stop looking at me like that. Tell me how y'all doing with your little chain on, Colin. You start us off.
Hey, man, me and my little chain, great in the state of the United States.
In the state of the United States?
That's what you said. I'm following you.
I meant to say country, but I said state. Oh, well.
I'm blessed, man. Had a day off, so excited to get some stuff done around the house. Just ready for the holidays, bro, at this point. I feel like at this time, everybody got to just chill out. Like, stop being so on 10. Like, this is the end of the year. Come on.
Hey, Colin, you got to do some yard work today?
So you already know, bro.
I know them leaves crazy. I know they're crazy.
Them leaves won't let up.
Bruh, I ain't lying. I went to the church yesterday. Them leaves at the church was so crazy. I just blew the leaves last Sunday. I came back. They came back thicker. Bro, I blew so many leaves last Sunday, my blower died. I had to go charge the battery. I didn't even finish the first half of the church. I said, yeah, you know what? All right. You win. Hundo, man, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain, man. Working, staying up the way, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love to hear it, fellas. Say no more. So, like I said, fellas, there's been a lot going on. Let's jump into some college football because that is in the midst of going on. A lot of, at least my team, has been basura this year. But we were having the only one, thank the Lord. There's been a lot of bad teams. And a lot of these teams have decided to fire their coaches. One specifically was Penn State, and James Franklin did wind up losing his job this season, unfortunately for him. However, he has received new employment at Virginia Tech. We'll start there, and then we'll go into Lane Kiffin, because I've heard there's some great discussion and debate, even though he's currently still employed. But let's start with Mr. James Franklin. How do y'all feel that his transition going from Penn State now to Virginia Tech will be for him?
I think for Virginia Tech, it's a home run hire coming from Brent Pry. Like, I think he was a mediocre coach. But James Franklin, you know, he's always exceeded expectations wherever he's been. Like, even at Penn State, he won the games he had to win. He just couldn't beat Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon. I think Virginia Tech is looking for stability. And I think in the ACC, what we saw from SMU last year, any team can make a run. So I feel like if he just comes in, they said that he has transfers on the way already. But if he can just at least do what he did at Penn State, he'll be a legend.
Okay. Yeah, I think going to the ACC from the Big Ten is definitely going to be good for him. Like Colin said, it's up and down in the ACC. You don't know who's going to win it. So he can definitely turn it around pretty quickly. there. I'll probably give him, 2 years to turn it around there. But that's a good hire for them. I think it's a good spot for him.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think Virginia Tech is one of those schools where the atmosphere, the tradition of that program historically has, allowed them to, get James Franklin. I feel like he wouldn't have gone to a sorry school, right? And so I think that him going there is not only going to boost up recruitment for them immediately, I think it also helps with transfer portal when that comes around. I'm here in a few months, and then it's also going to help. I just think just the school at Virginia Tech. I mean, I don't know too many players at Virginia Tech, to be honest with you. I know one young man who's like the backup quarterback, AJ Brand. His dad used to coach for my high school, and so I know he's there now playing quarterback for them. Of course, I don't know whether he's gonna, stay or leave with all this, all the trans that's transpiring now. But if he decides to stay, as he continues to grow in his culture, I think it'd be overall, I think the players will find that this would be pretty good for them. And like Colin mentioned, him joining the ACC has been a week of very weak conference this year. So, I mean, it's going to be anybody's ball game headed into next season when it comes to conferences, especially if he's able to recruit well in the portal and in out of high school. So, pushing past that, because like I said, I know y'all have been having this, some discussion on Lane Kiffin, who once again is still currently employed by Ole Miss. So, talk to me about the discussion that y'all were having, because I'm not privy to it. So let's discuss that. Y'all let me know where y'all at, and if I have anything to add, I'll jump in. Go ahead,
Listen,
Colin.
Lane Kiffin currently is the head coach of Ole Miss, John. Thank you for pointing that out. But he's been in discussions with both LSU and Florida. There have been reports today that his family is currently in Baton Rouge touring, and they said that he's been in talks with Florida. The whole talk this week, as Ole Miss beat Florida, was that he's destined to be Florida's next head coach. So me and Hondo were having this conversation with him having games left in the season and with them still having a playoff berth. There was talks, and I put it in the group chat, that Ole Miss executives were kind of frustrated with how this situation has happened, and they're expecting him to make a decision by the Egg Bowl of what he's going to do, because he said, well, Brett McMurphy reported that if he doesn't make a decision, they could just move forward with the defensive coordinator and just go forward without him being at the helm because of all of the confusion that's happening. So your colleague Hundo was like, good that y'all not going to rush me, that he can leave and then he's going to take all the recruits with him. And so I said that we were arguing about how much better the LSU and Florida jobs are versus Ole Miss. And so I was expressing that in today's landscape, I think he can win, 9 to 10 games every year at Ole Miss. And I think if we look historically at what LSU has been, LSU has fired two coaches that have won national championships. Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Les Miles wins 9 games, they fire him. Ed Orgeron wins 5 wins. He gets 5 wins, and then they fire him. Obviously, it was much different than that Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase roster. And so what I say is that the grass is not always greener. That he could just win 9 to 10 games for, a couple of years. There's always going to be jobs left. He doesn't have to leave and take those 2 jobs, because I think that they're national championship expectations with both fan bases. And I don't think Lane Kiffin is a national championship style or type of coach right now. Last season, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. They lost 3 games and they almost made it into the playoff. And so there were a couple of games this year, even if you look at the Ole Miss Florida game, they were losing that game going into the fourth quarter. And there's a couple of games they could have lost and they could have easily been 9-3 and the narrative would have shifted. So I think if you go to LSU.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Florida and get a big bag, they're going to be expecting national championships. And if you have consistent 9-3 seasons, those fan bases are going to be angry and they're going to want to move on eventually if you cannot produce at the level that they expect. So I said, just realistically, I don't see him at I don't see why it's necessary to have any added pressure when you can do the same thing that both of these programs do. Even with an increase in NIL budget and salary, that doesn't always mean that it's the better job.
Okay. Hundo, you're under your rebuttal.
I just don't think you can put that moniker on Lane Kiffin. Like, and me and Colin were talking about this as well, but like I was telling him there has to be a sense of urgency. Colin was saying, you know, there might be other jobs that opens up, you know, next year. Don't just rush and go to one of these two jobs, right? We don't know if that man gonna be alive or not.
Hey, yo.
That man not God.
Hey,
You don't know this
yo.
time coming. Hey, you gotta jump on the opportunity when you can.
Okay. That's your speech?
The speech. That's what I've been having to deal with for the past 2 hours, John.
That was a part of it. That was a part of it.
Okay.
But also, like I was telling Colin too, like we gotta understand what his values is or are. Does he just want a bag? Does he actually want to win a championship? Does he not think he can win a championship at Ole Miss with the resources, with the NIL that he has there? Does he think he needs more resources and NIL money to get the proper guys that he needs to truly compete for a championship? We don't know what his goals and values are. So we got to understand that too. So, I mean, if he goes there and he wins a championship at LSU, what's going to be the conversation? And Colin was saying, what you gonna do next year? Which is a valid question. But like, yo, if I'm Lane Kiffin, if I can go to LSU and win a championship, I've done what I needed to do. So what does success look like for Lane Kiffin wherever he decides to go? If one championship is not enough.
That's true. That's true. Because, I mean, in reality, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember the last time Lane Kiffin won a championship, like won as a head coach. I don't think he
Never.
ever has. But I don't
Never.
think he ever has. So it's like, okay, and to truth be told, with his Ole Miss team, he's not doing it right now. Not the way it's looking this year. I mean, they had a
Right.
decent season, but I don't see it happening this year. But in my personal opinion, even if he goes to Florida next year, I mean, they're not winning the national championship next year.
Right.
They don't automatically go into national championship contention. LSU, I mean, you got more of an opportunity just because of the prestige and things like that. But to Colin's point, I mean, those schools are going to expect that, right? Those schools have that pedigree of championship winning. So it's like, okay, if we don't get this in the next 3 to 5 max, you're out of there again. Now you're in the same position. And I feel like, I think we had the kind of this conversation before of like, certain schools, you have like a pedigree of like, we expect championships. And then you got certain schools like, we just expect to, be able to say we made a good bowl or at least made the playoff once in the past 4 years. You know what I'm saying? You have those kind of schools as well. So, I mean, I think you got to, if you're Lane, you have to kind of weigh those options. Now, obviously, money talks at the end of the day, right? So, if somebody throwing you a bag, go get your bag. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at that at all, to Hundo's point either. You know what I'm saying? Like, because money matters. That's facts. You got a family you're trying to take care of, all that stuff like that. And Lane Kiffin has built up a name for himself to where he can recruit, where he can, do all these things. So it's not as if he's throwing himself into a fire. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not like, oh, I'm just throwing myself to the wolves at LSU or to Florida. I have my name to say I'm still Lane Kiffin and I can recruit, just as James Franklin has his name to say I can go recruit down to Georgia Tech, I mean Virginia Tech. So I think he has that pedigree behind it. So I think that works in his favor wherever he decides to go, if he decides to go anywhere. I think yes, it can definitely be annoying for the school, but I think schools have to understand that these days coaches are always gonna have their names in the mix, especially if you have a good coach. You know what I'm saying? Like Dabo said his name in Alabama when Nick Saban left immediately. You know what I'm saying? He was winning at Clemson at that time. So it's like, if you're a good coach, you're gonna have your name in the mix. You know what I'm saying? And like schools just have to realize that. Just like NIL is a thing for these kids, excuse me, these student athletes who are coming into these programs or transferring into other programs, same for coaches. I mean, yes, my paycheck is good today, but yesterday's price is not today's price. You know what I'm saying? So that does change as well. So like, why do I have to have loyalty if the school don't have loyalty? If the kids or the student athletes don't have loyalty as well. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's my personal opinion on it. It's like, And I think people do this in real life all the time. Like, we are not loyal to these, we're not loyal as people think to our jobs. We are loyal to a check. And that's the honest to God truth.
Say you know that what I'm again. Saying? Say that again, Colin. Colin.
People are loyal to a check, and it's real. Now, I will say there's a difference between us making, you know, maybe 100,000 and them making millions. There's a difference. But at the same time, if I'm like, let's say my annual is 10 and LSU saying, all right, bet we give you 15 to 17 and I get to go to LSU, I'm winning. You know what I'm saying? Why am I going to stay at LSU exactly. if I can go do more with more money and more things? You know, like I'm saying, like, you're still playing a whatever game because I mean, you're staying within the SEC as a conference. So you still have to, you know, face the same kind of dogs. But, you know, you could, in his eyes, it could be better for him. It could be a better situation for his family, for whatever the case may be. So that's what I got to say on the topic.
And that was also what I was telling Colin, too. Like, it's a win-win situation for Lane. Like, either he's going to get a bigger bag, or he's going to go there and win a championship. Like, it's a win-win situation. Like, you can't really lose in that situation.
Yeah. The only way I see him losing is at Florida, to be honest with you, because Florida hasn't won anything in a while. And, like, right now, I don't know if they're built enough to win in the SEC. Like, them boys, SEC been rocking. So, like, Florida, for me, personally, if he decides to take that route, that would be an interesting role for him because that's more of a, I think, a rebuild, right? Because, I mean, you don't really have a solidified quarterback right now. And then you say with LSU, I think Nussmeier's going to leave and probably, if he doesn't leave this year, definitely even next year. So it's like you're in a rebuild mode of needing your centerpiece. Then you got to rebuild some other pieces. So it's like, you know, having that in your mind as well. But I think Florida's definitely more of a rebuild than LSU is. So,
and I think also with Florida too, it's like, I don't think they should have that expectation of winning a championship.
Yeah. Like, that's right. I agree.
Like, maybe historically, yes, y'all have won national championships, but like right now, y'all are nowhere near national championship caliber.
Yeah, that's facts.
So we gotta have an honest conversation about some of these teams' expectations.
That's facts. But and so, that's real. I think go ahead, Colin.
I mean, but I'll say this though, like back to your point about the money, like all money is just not good money. Like when you're talking about the difference between $100 million and $50 million, I get it. But Ole Miss offered him an extension. He just has not signed it. And that I'm sure in that extension, he will probably be one of the highest paid coaches in college football if he signs it. I think on the benefit for LSU would be the connection of boosters where I'll be making more money and I'll have a higher NIL budget. But the problem is, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, they're still going through litigation with Brian Kelly about this $54 million buyout. They don't want to pay him the money. And you see how the governor of LSU has meddled with all the athletics in LSU. I told Hundo, it's not just about the money. It's about alignment. I think there are certain jobs in college football I would leave for. Like we were talking about in the group, I would leave for Eugene, Oregon. I would go to Oregon because I think that there's alignment. I would leave for Texas. I would leave for Ohio State. But I'm saying the state of these two programs right now, I just don't think it's a benefit to leave for money for these jobs because I don't think that there's a lot of alignment. And I think that LSU thinks that they want to beat Alabama. They want to compete for national championships. If you go 9-3, we saw with Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer went 9-3 last season. He just got there, and people are already talking about his buyout and hot seat conversation. And I think Kalen DeBoer is one of the best coaches like in the country. Like I would say he's like top six, top five, top six. And I just think that that's unnecessary pressure when you've already built something at Ole Miss. Like, what is the benefit really of leaving for LSU? Because even if you get a transfer quarterback and he doesn't hit, now you're stuck. Now you have to hope that you can hit on another guy next year. And I just think that year-to-year, like, roller coaster is something you could avoid. And you could just stay at Ole Miss. Like, if he stays at Ole Miss another year, goes to the playoffs, goes through a deep run, and then has the same season he did this season next year, I think that there will be a number of different jobs open next year. Now, if it's a better job with alignment, go. But I just don't think the jobs that are available next year, available this year, is worth leaving Ole Miss for. Because Ole Miss is not a doesn't have any money. We're not talking like it's Mississippi State or like it's, I don't know, Tulane. Like, this is a decent program with resources and access to talent. And he's currently in the playoff. He doesn't have to do anything. He can make the playoff and go on a run. He can win a national championship this year. I don't think he will, but he has the opportunity this year. Why leave it?
I think, though, to your point of, like, if you're going to play out this year and then potentially leave next year, why not just leave now? Like, because, like, to Hundo's point earlier, and to your point, you don't necessarily know what jobs are going to be available. You can assume, and we can say, all right, well, you know, this person may be on the hot seat based upon this school's resume, right? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like, but you also got to think in that same regard, the jobs that become available, I may not be wanting, right? It may not be a LSU caliber school that's available next year. It may not be a Florida caliber school that's available next year. So, like, it's like, okay, if my plan is to leave, not one thing I can't speak because I don't know what Lane's, you know, plans are. Only he knows that, right? But, I mean, if the plan is to leave, why not leave now while I'm coaching good? Because let's say I go now, next year, something happens at Ole Miss, and now I go 2-10. Now nobody want me. Now I'm a problem. Now I'm on the hot seat. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I could have left when you strike while the iron's hot, in theory. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if he's going to go, I think now is the best time to go. Because to Hundo's point earlier, no man knows the day nor the hour, right? And you don't know what's going to happen next year. Not to say the man going to die, but your team may not be as good next year. You may have a fluke injury. Your quarterback may tear ACL. He out for the season. That was your guy. You know what I'm saying? And so now your team can't perform. And so now everybody look at you crazy. So, like, anything can happen. And so it's like, if I'm going to slide, let me slide with an iron side. That's all.
And don't rush me.
Don't rush me.
That's true. I'm bringing everybody with me.
That's facts. And I get that point too, because it's like, okay, if you gonna fire me, you gonna fire me today. You know what I'm saying? But you want a decision tomorrow. And it's like, come on now. Let's be honest about this thing. People, these jobs you want in the 30-day notice when you about to quit. But when they want to fire you, they fire you day of and have no explanation or nothing needed. Hmm. So it's like, you know, it gets real dicey when you get into these kind of conversations, because it's like, okay, there's so much that goes on. You know, to both of y'all's points, I think both of y'all made great points in regards to, like, you know, what can be done, what should be done, you know, the pros and the cons. It's like, okay, at the end of the day, am I making this decision that's best for me and my family at the end of the day? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Because, I mean, like, yes, championships are going to matter. And yes, championships are going to be valued differently at different schools, right? Like you said, to Colin's point earlier, I mean, Florida may not be requiring you a national championship next year. They may say, okay, you have 2 or 3 years to do a rebuild, blah, blah, blah. Same with Ole Miss and LSU may be saying, okay, we're expecting a national championship within the next 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Bringing you in, this is what our final piece was. You know what I'm saying? But also, to Colin's point, it may not necessarily be the right job for him. You know what I'm saying? It may be shiny, maybe gold, but it may not be the right job for Lane. So, like I said, Lane really has to sit down and evaluate all of that for himself, like all of these things, where I am currently, what I could be doing, and all of these things like that. So, you know, God bless him. He has a crazy and a big decision to make for his life and what's coming next. But it's also crazy that these are the jobs that he has to offer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what else James Franklin was weighing in his options. But, I mean, to me, in looking on the outside, looking in, going from Penn State to Virginia Tech, it's a drop. Yes, he's still James Franklin, but it's a drop for him. He didn't have necessarily like a Penn State level school that was, you know, coming to get him. Yes, once again, Virginia Tech has some prestige, things like that academically, but athletically for football, they don't necessarily have that same kind of prestige that a Penn State has. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's Lane's in a different situation where he has the options to say, okay, I can go from pretty much making a lateral. It's almost lateral movement, honestly, because to me, with LSU versus the Florida, where it's sloped in Florida. Me personally, it's not a complete drop, but it's a slope. there you can tell.
Yeah, but I think to your point, John, I think James Franklin, if he wanted, he could have had Arkansas, he could have had Florida, he could have had LSU. Some of this is because they were kind of waiting on Lane before they made a decision. But I think the fact that he went to Virginia Tech, once again, I repeat, a lot of it's about alignment too. And we don't know what he has at Virginia Tech. He has an alignment. He can win easily. And so what I'm saying is, you can go to these jobs and it can sound great. It sound like a splash hire. But if you don't get the job done, like, they're going to be on your head. And him getting the job done, he could be doing the same thing that he's doing at Ole Miss. And if you don't have the right alignment from top to bottom, you can easily lose. So that I get what you're saying about the 2-10, but that same thing can happen if he goes to Florida LSU. You get one injury, you get, you know, one recruit that you miss that affects the entire team. You lose the locker room. That can easily happen. Because you're not playing. It's not like you're playing a bunch of, like, Tulanes, Tulsas, Navies. Like, the SEC is going to be changing every year.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. I think, like I said, NIL has really changed the game altogether. And so it's like I said, that money, I think at the end of the day, really what's going to change is what's going to talk is that money. And like you said, the NIL that I can provide. Because, like, yeah, I can go to Florida for $20 million more. But if my NIL is not going to match what I can do at LSU or Ole Miss, then like you mentioned, the alignment really can be purposeful for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't bring in the recruits. They're going to fire me next year anyway. Like kind of what you mentioned with DeBoer. And I think his is a little bit different because he's following Nick Saban, who is one of the greatest of all time, right? And so it's like when you're in that kind of situation, the fans have an expectation of what should be happening. The school has an expectation of what has happened, you know, previously. And you don't necessarily perform to that same standard off rip. Yeah, they don't call for your job immediately. Because that's what they expect. That's what they're, you know, used to. If Andy Reid were to leave the Chiefs today, and let's just say, I don't know, D'Amico Ryans leaves Houston and goes to the Chiefs and has a terrible season. Let's just say he goes 8-9 next year. I'm like, oh, fire this guy. Who is he? You know what I'm saying? Like you said, I think it's a lot that kind of goes into all of that, personally. So,
and I think at Florida, they still think that Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier are walking through that door. Like, that there, we know SEC fans are delusional. We got to be honest.
Yeah, they are.
These schools are delusional too.
They are.
Agreed. So I think that's what I'm saying. You need alignment. You need to be realistic. Yeah. What is the expectation here? And what is realistic expectations?
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts. I'm not mad at it, man. I'm not mad at it at all. Well, let's push the conversation forward, fellas. Let's switch over to some talk about some NFL. There's been a lot going on. I think the last time we talked, we may have been in week two, let's say four. I'm going to say four. I'm pretty sure the Ravens were like 1-3, 1-4 at this time. Maybe 5 last time we talked and had a good conversation about the NFL. But a lot has happened. A lot has happened since that time. So Lamar Jackson was still hurt at that time. So let's get started with this because I know this will make Colin happy. The Indianapolis Colts are still playing good football going into week 12 of the NFL season. And I will be one to say that I am thoroughly surprised. I'm not going to hold you. I did not foresee these boys having a season like they're having right now. The Indianapolis Colts are currently 8-2. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure they're still the one seed at this current time.
No.
Broncos now. My bad.
Yeah, I don't even know how we started with the Colts, first of all.
You right.
We started with the Colts because we beat y'all. So we can start.
And we still got a better record than y'all. 9-2. Keep going, John. 9-2.
I was setting it up. 9-2. I was setting it up. I was going to get to y'all. I promise you I was. I was getting to that point, but I was saying that the Colts are now 8-2, right? They just finished up their game in Berlin. They had a bye week last week, and so they're coming back this week with a crazy matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City Sunday at 1 o'clock. But before we get to that point, like I said, in addition to that, I mean, you really would think that this is like 2007, the way that the standings are right now, because the top three teams in the AFC in numerical order, number one, the Denver Broncos, number two, the New England Patriots, who are also 9-2. And then the number three team is currently the Indianapolis Colts, who are 8-2. Now, like I said, you would think this is like 2008, 2009, because these teams haven't been on top of the AFC in this kind of order in a minute. So that lets you kind of know where the AFC is. And then on the NFC side, top three teams are Philly, the Rams, and the Chicago Bears, 7-3. Right? Another team that, in my personal opinion, has surprised me. You know, they were a team that I had talked about multiple times of having a plethora of pieces, but never been able to putting it together. And so another team that, for me, has surprised. I've seen great strides from the AFC teams that were on top and the NFC teams that are on top in regards to the way these teams are being run, the way the players are playing, It's just been really interesting to see this NFL season. And like I said, the previous top dogs of the past couple of years, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals at one point. You look at the Buffalo Bills. These teams are, you know, they're not playing bad, but they're not playing good either. So let's get into the discussion, fellas, because as I just mentioned, you got the top three teams. Hundo's Broncos, Colts, Collins at at three, right? And so it's playoff time now. This is week 12. We got 5 weeks left in the season, maybe six max. Week 18, somebody have a week 18 game. We got six games max to prove when you really going to solidify your standing at an AFC, right? The Denver Broncos had a huge win yesterday over the Chiefs. I watched that game at the end of that, and I mean, they really had a huge win. And so now the Colts get the opportunity to pretty much listen to this though. If the Colts can pull off a win this Sunday against the Chiefs in Kansas City, that puts the Chiefs at 5-6. And right now, and with the way that division is shaping up, the Chiefs, for the first time in almost a decade plus, may not make the playoffs. Nope. That is monumental. So let's discuss, fellas. I mean, how mind-blowing is that? And do y'all think it's actually going to happen? Let's start there for one. And then we're going to come back and talk about y'all teams for two. Because we've seen, like I said, for the past decade of our lives, as Colin has coined this, the Chiefs Invitational. And even if they made the playoffs, it's definitely not going to be that this year. So talk to me. How y'all feeling about that?
I mean, I just think it's a change in the guard and change in the landscape. I think the Chiefs are still a good team. Like, it was a good game yesterday in regards to our game this upcoming week. It's going to be a tough one for us because I think the Chiefs, like you said, they have to win this game. And it's more of a must-win for them than it is for us. I feel like with, you know, the Chiefs, we had kind of been seeing, you know, Andy Reid and Pat cover up an embarrassment of, well, not an embarrassment of Reeves, but like a lot of problems with their skill players and lack of running game. But I think it's just coming to bite them because, you know, with them trading away Joe Tooney, reshaping their O-line, I think that's affected Pat Mahomes a lot and his ability to, you know, be surgical on offense. And I think the Broncos exposed it. Like, the Broncos have one of the best defenses in the league. And so I think that where they were able to stabilize a lot the previous seasons and just get by games, those one score games that they were winning last season, they're just not going to be able to do that, you know, and it's going to be important for them to hit in the draft, right? Because that's what the Patriots had to do. And we saw that there was essentially two different careers with Tom Brady, and a lot of the Gronkowski and all of the players that you're seeing, like Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, those are the people that they hit in the draft and they were able to develop. And so that later part when we were in college and they were dominating again, it was just in the middle of that, it was a bunch of lost in the first round, you know, trying to go get like a Randy Moss and whatnot. But I think that they'd be fine because they have a stable organization. But I just think this is the ramifications of a $400 million quarterback, right? And with Travis Kelce and Chris Jones getting older. So, yeah, that's just how the league fluctuates. So I just think that the younger stars with, you know, either quarterbacks on rookie contracts or quarterbacks with low contracts, like in our case, they're able to build rosters a little bit better and compete.
Okay. Okay. Hundo, give me your thoughts real quick. I got another question for Colin. So go ahead.
Yeah, I like how you threw that in with the low contracts. You're able to build a team.
Listen, you know where I'm going. Go ahead.
But nah, man, it's gonna be crazy to see. As we talked about, the first time since 2015 that the Chiefs lose his division, more than likely, the way it's looking.
Yeah.
But you know, coming into this game with the Broncos, like, and before the Bills game, like the last time we were on the pod, like the Chiefs were looking good. I was saying that it was one of the scariest teams in the league at the moment. But they just ran into two better teams these past 2 weeks, past couple weeks. Yeah. But definitely a good win for the Broncos. Getting over that hump of beating the Giant in the division without Pat at that. Riley Moss had some, you know, dumb pass interference calls still. But Jaquan McMillan had a good game, had a couple sacks, caught a pick. So he played big. Defense played big. Bo Nix made a big throw. So shout out to him for making that throw when we needed it. But yeah, big win. Definitely. I'm not going to count the Chiefs out yet. If they lose Sunday, the chances definitely go down a good bit. But it's hard to bet against Pat and Andy Reid. I think they're going to find a way to turn around. They got a tough little stretch, though, with the Colts.
Yeah, they do.
The Cowboys, Texans, who always play tough. The Chargers, the Titans, Broncos, and Raiders to end the season. So there's hope still for them, but we're going to see.
Say no more. Okay. Getting off of the Chiefs, let's come back to y'all teams, man. I was looking at the end of y'all season schedules. And I know last time we talked about, you know, who's going to wind up getting that one seed. But forget that. Both of y'all are in prime positions to win y'all divisions right now, right? So let's talk about, you know, playoff implications as y'all finish out the rest of these seasons. You know, the Colts made a huge trade before the deadline of getting Sauce Gardner now on that defense to solidify that secondary, right? And so, you know, I think was a phenomenal move by the management there. What's the young lady's name that's running that team now after the passing of Mr. Irsay?
Harley.
I mean, Harley. Carly, excuse me. Carly's come in and, you know, made some. I mean, she's really. I like the way that she's running the team right now.
Front line. She right there on the sidelines with the clipboard.
And I love that from an owner. You know, so you're really in the grind. Really, she's wearing the headset. Like, she's really like trying to get into it. And I love that because it shows like, I'm not just somebody with some money that just like we're throwing money at the team. I'm really like invested in this. And I think the team has fed off of that. Truly. I'm not saying that Jim didn't have that same persona, but I don't remember seeing him like she is, like, you know, really in it, you know, really locked in like she is. I think the Colts have definitely fed off of that. So my question to you, Colin, is that, you know, with the way this season is shaped up for y'all, what is your outlook on the rest of this season as y'all finish up in these next couple games? Like I said, with a huge matchup this Sunday, going into next week with the Chiefs. What's your outlook on the rest of this season? How do you expect it to finish for y'all at 8-2 currently?
I think we can still win the division. Like the Texans are giving us a lot of help, you know, with them losing injuries and whatnot, you know. I still think we're kind of team where we need alignment. That's going to be my word of the day. We need alignment coming into the playoffs because I don't think that, you know, we can go into Buffalo and just win the game. I don't think a lot of the top teams. Like, now, if the Patriots are the number one team, or, you know, even with the Broncos, like we play the Broncos well, but, and, you know, we know the contenders in the AFC, right? And if they are still up there, I just don't think we can go in there and win games. So, but, you know, if people are coming to Lucas Oil and we catch, you know, the right team on the right day, I think that we can make a run. I still think that we need to make a little bit, we need a couple of moves that we still need to make. The only problem I have, though, is like, I love our owner, and I love that she's involved with the organization. But two firsts is a lot for, you know, Sauce Gardner. So we hopefully Sauce, you know, is a all pro, you know, Pro Bowl kind of player for the foreseeable future. But there were some plays with the Jets that he was like, all right, Sauce, like, you know, when you can't hold, can you still cover, right? Can you still be dominant? And if you go look at the precedent of the league, I think that for a player like Quinnen Williams, you know, I could see the two first four because you always build in the trenches first, and then on the outside you can find them in the draft and whatnot. And so the reason why I say that is like because we're making moves like that, I appreciate our aggression, but that means that we have to win now, right? And you know, hopefully, you know, our first round picks can still be lower in 26 and 27, but we gave up a lot. And if you suck, the Jets won the trade. So that's my only issue. It's like, I think there has to be a healthy level of aggression, and we're making the right moves for the foreseeable future. But I think for this year, if we catch, you know, the right team on the right day in the playoffs, we can definitely a run. I don't think this is a Super Bowl winning team, though.
Yeah, I'll say, man, this season has been like every week has been like any given Sunday, right? Like, I mean, the teams I'm thinking will be sorry. Like, have they actually been competing? Teams you think are going to be good have not been competing. I mean, we've seen it. Like I said, the top teams not being as good as we thought they were. Like I said, the Chiefs definitely surprised me. The Ravens came out 1-5. I mean, we had these teams who were like respecting these great things from. Even your boy 1-7, man. We're going to have a conversation about your boy 1-7. Because, I mean, right. Hey, and I want to ask y'all this right now. And let me, now I got Hundo back, so I got to ask y'all this before we get into the Broncos talk. So your boy 1-7, Mr. Josh Allen, y'all know my guy, number 8. But listen, y'all boy 1-7, he's 7-3 right now, currently the 3 seed. And now he's not the 3 seed. Sorry, he can't be the 3 seed because they're not winning their division currently. The Patriots win that division currently. So yeah. If one, he does not win his division, and two, he does not take his team to the Super Bowl like y'all told me he was going to do, are we going to have some honest conversations about 1-7?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have to.
We're going to have some honest conversations about 1-7?
Yes, but it's a caveat.
Oh! How is there a caveat, sir?
Brother, if the eye test tells me this team is not that good.
No, 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 no. We're not doing that. We're not moving that goalpost, Hundo, because you would never let me slide. You would never let me slide like that, ever. That's goalpost moving, Hundo. Before this season now, and we can go back and roll the tape back. No. Let me finish. Before this season started, we looked at 1-7. We looked at this schedule. We said 1-7, this is the year now. With this schedule, with this team, put the cape on. You're the reigning MVP.
Yeah, hold on, John. Hold on, John.
I actually said, you're right. You know what? You're right.
No, wait. Hold on, John. Because last season, Hundo, both of us were sitting here saying because their roster wasn't as good, that's why he was the MVP. He has a different standard. And we saw not only did they lose versus the Patriots, but they also lost to the failing Dolphins. And a part of the reason that they were losing, it wasn't just because the roster was bad. It was because he made some reckless moves as a quarterback, which affected them losing the game. So we have to be honest. If we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, they paid him this.
Huh? Also, before the season, we said, can he do it again? Can he play the same way that he played last year, this year? We said that.
That's your job when you're making $50
million. Huh?
That's your job when you're making $50 million. You don't get to take all the years just because your roster is bad. You're coming to win championships.
I'm not saying have an off year, but what I'm saying is we can have an honest conversation and say that this team is not as good as we thought they was going to be before the season started. That's a part of analysis. I'm not going to sit up here and say, yes, this team can still win a Super Bowl, and they don't look like they can win a Super Bowl. Why would I continue to say that?
But
so, I just want to know, are you going to give him a pass?
No, he has to play better.
Okay. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know from you. I know you. Yeah, I know you like to move goalposts. Okay. And so I just wanted to know. I'm telling you, because if it was Lamar, oh, Hundo would be on my head for sure.
Hold on, brother. Let me pull up the numbers real quick. All
right. Why are you pulling
up? Listen. Against the Dolphins, 28-40, 306, 2 touchdowns and a pick. They lost by 17. They couldn't stop the run. A-Chain had 22 carries for 174 and 2 touchdowns. Is that not crazy?
But did somebody have that call?
Wait. Why he didn't score more?
Why they couldn't stop the run?
Didn't he have a costly fumble on that tush push play that literally changed the momentum of the game?
The game was over in the first half.
I'm glad you're seeing it, bro. This is what I was dealing with Briar last year. This is what I was dealing with. Like, it's insane. Like, when he can do no wrong in Hunter's eyes.
An all-pro MVP quarterback that's making $50 million, and the answer is the game
is over in the first half. Listen, but they still 7-3, fellas. Let's not act like they're 3-7.
We are 7-3. That's real, Rondo. That's real. But right now, let me ask you this. You a Broncos fan. Is 1-7 beating y'all?
Yes. Have you seen Bo Nix? Without Pat Surtain?
I just seen him win yesterday.
But my issue is this, though.
Everybody have a good game.
You said what?
This is a drive-by-drive analysis with him. He was down to throw three picks. Have you seen our offense?
No, we just called the Chiefs like terrifying a couple weeks ago. The Bills go and beat the Chiefs. Talk about Josh Allen, but when they lose, the roster's not good. The roster has to be decent to beat the Chiefs. Am I wrong?
I wish you
did. Listen, brother, the Chiefs are not that good. They 5-5.
Rewind the tape. All listeners, rewind the tape. Because you said a week ago we were calling the Chiefs scary.
Listen, like I said, this is a week-to-week analysis, brother. That's literally what I just said. I'm not going to sit up here and say the Chiefs are a championship-winning team, and they just lost back-to-back games.
Oh, the Bills are championship-winning team. Playoffs. Are the Bills a championship winning team?
Right now, no.
Who in the AFC is a championship winning team?
I don't know. I don't think none of them can win the championship. I don't trust none of them.
My thing is this: if 1-7 doesn't do it this year, where do you like? What happens? Does he go down in your rankings of a quarterback? Does he finally lessen in your mind?
I don't think none of these quarterbacks
because at what point
this year? That's my thing. I don't think none of these quarterbacks have been good. When y'all talk about MVP, Stafford maybe Hurts, but other than that, everybody else is up and down.
But I think that goes back to my point, though. Your boy 1-7 should be better, correct or no?
Brother, everybody's been up and down this year.
But no, we can't do that.
That's not the standard. That's not the precedent he said.
We can't do that.
We can't do that.
Has he not been up and down this year? Has he not been up and down this year?
We can't do that.
You know, we do not grade Lamar, Pat, and Josh on the same curve as these other quarterbacks.
Okay. So out of those three, who's had the best season so far? Out of those,
Josh has been healthy the whole year, so I'm gonna go Josh. He got the best record. Lamar been hurt. He missed a couple games, and Pat's 5-5. So I gotta go Josh.
Okay. So is he gonna move in y'all rankings? I'm gonna ask y'all the same question y'all asking me.
If he doesn't win, no, he doesn't go anywhere.
But he won right now. He got the best record right now.
Right now, Hundo, yes. Okay. But
Let me ask you this. If he make the playoffs and the other two don't make the playoffs, then what?
If he doesn't win, then what, Hundo?
He did better than the other two.
But see, that's my thing with you. Because if I were to tell you Lamar makes the playoffs, you're going to look like I'm an idiot. Like, that's never been a measurement. Like, making the playoffs should be
better. You're talking about those three? The measurement can change every year.
Come on, bro. Come on, that's goalpost moving, bro.
You're gonna tell me, Lamar was hurt. He didn't even play all season.
No, you asked me right now. That's what you asked me. I didn't say the end of the year. If end of year Josh has had more success or wins the Super Bowl, of course he moves up in my mind. First, I'll be honest and say that.
Okay, but what if he makes the playoffs and the other two don't make the playoffs? Does he move up?
For what if he doesn't win?
You tell
me all the time that championships matter. If he goes to the playoffs,
and guess what?
And he doesn't win, then what has it been for?
You ain't make the playoffs.
And that's what the goal for, and that's what the goal for when it comes in. That's what the goal for when it comes in. Yeah, I'm gonna keep going. Because I see the sound Hundo's on, bro. And I'm not gonna let him get under my skin. So what we're gonna do is this, man.
No, hold on, brother. We gotta talk about the Broncos.
I was about to get to your Broncos.
Number one team in the league.
Okay. I hear that. And you just mentioned to me that your quarterback sucks. Let me ask you this. In the next 5 weeks, and I'm about to read off y'all's schedule because I know y'all are bye week this week. In the next 5 weeks, the Denver Broncos have the following schedule. In week 13, y'all play the Commanders. And then y'all go and play the Raiders. Then y'all come back home, play the Packers, the Jags. Y'all go to the Chiefs and end off against the Chargers. At currently 9-2, what's your ending season record with the schedule I just mentioned to you, Hundo? We all end off as the one seed, best team in the NFL after 17 weeks. Okay. I guess it'll take some time to think about that. No problem at all. I'm going to pivot over to the Ravens, man, because the Ravens started the season 1-5, and Lamar Jackson has come back to lead us to a 500 record. And so I think that has put us in a great position to come back and prepare to win our division. The Pittsburgh Steelers have started to fall off. They've been losing to help us get back up to where we are. And Lamar Jackson has been playing good football. The defense has turned it around. And once again, it's led us to now a 5-5 record. As of yesterday, it's been said that Aaron Rodgers has a break or a slight break in one of his arms. His left wrist, which will cause him more than likely to miss at least probably a week or two, maybe three, depending on how long the healing process it takes for him at 41. So with that being the case, I believe that Pittsburgh is here to go on a losing streak, which will allow the Ravens to go on even a further winning streak, which will allow us to also take first place in our division. Looking at the rest of our schedule, we're looking pretty good. I mean, we got some tough matchups. We got Green Bay and New England in the last 5 to 6 weeks of the season. We also have to play Pittsburgh twice, and we also have to play the Bengals twice. Joe Burrow has not been confirmed to be coming back. However, he is practicing at this current time. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how our division plays out. I still have faith in the Ravens to take care of business and handle business. But we shall see what comes of this for the Ravens here. So Hundo, I see that you're back now. So back to your Broncos, man, at 9-2, mm-hmm. and the rest of y'all schedule that we mentioned, do you see y'all winning the division for one? Two, are you going to end off as the one seed? And three, can you make a playoff run?
We're going to see what Bo Nix look like week to week, drive to drive. As we saw, our defense held up without Pat Surtain. He'll probably be out. I assume he might come back for the Commanders game since we got a bye next week. So he might be back by the Commanders game. But even then, probably won't need him versus them, especially if Jaden not playing. But I think the rest of our schedule, I think we're going to be fine. We should beat the Commanders, should beat the Raiders. That Packers game going to be interesting. We're going to see. It's a home game, so hopefully we can win that one. Should beat the Jaguars. Chiefs going to be tough on the road. Thursday night game. We owe the Chargers, mm-hmm. so we should beat them. With that being said, that's about 12 to 13 wins that I see with the remaining schedule, with us already being at 9. I think that's enough to win the division. It's going to come down to what the Chargers do. That was a nasty L that they took to the Jaguars yesterday, but I appreciate the Jaguars for doing that because we have a 2-game lead in the division. So it's looking good right now. We just got to hold up. Like I said, we're going to see how Bo Nix look drive to drive, game to game. It's going to come down to how he plays. We've seen the offense real stagnant multiple games, and then we see him make big throws like we saw him make yesterday. So it just depends. It's going to come down, like I say every time, on what is Bo Nix going to do.
When does PS2 come back?
I don't think they've said, but it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back the Commanders game. So like I said, we got a bye next week, and then we play the Commanders on the 30th. Okay. So it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back then.
Say no more. So I know you. I heard you say that you didn't like any of the AFC teams winning Super Bowl. So are you thinking, who are you thinking in the NFC is looking dominant enough or good enough right now to go and win a Super Bowl? Are you looking at, you know, the Eagles? Are you looking at the Lions? Are you looking at somebody else in the NFC?
I think the Eagles are low-key in a similar boat as the Broncos. Like, defense been playing good, getting enough stops. What the offense going to look like?
Yeah.
And they actually got the weapons. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Like, their offense has been struggling, but, like, they got way better weapons than the Broncos got.
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, why are we struggling? Why are they struggling on offense? If they could figure out their offense, yes, they could make a run and possibly win the championship. They probably still could win a championship with the way the offense is looking, because Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over. He takes care of the ball. Yep. He's a great game manager in a sense. He knows how to win in the big moments. But the Rams look nice. That was a good win they had yesterday. I like how the Rams looking if they can stay healthy. But definitely one of those two teams. I trust them more than I trust any of the teams in the AFC right now, based off how it's looking.
Okay. Yeah, I think the playoffs will get really interesting this year. Because like I said, I think the team's a lot closer than they've ever been. And I don't see a dominant team on either side, to be honest with you. I think teams have good records, but I don't see like a dominant team on either side right now. So I definitely think it's going to be an interesting playoff series as we come to the end of this season. And it's going to be a dogfight to see who gets these last couple spots, right? Because I think we have top teams right now. But even the top teams could lose games in these next 5 weeks. These next 5 weeks are going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. I think a crazy finish.
It's going to come down to quarterback play. Like, which quarterback's going to step up in the big moments? Like, we saw Sam Darnold, 4 interceptions yesterday. Like, bro, you can't have that, and your team is supposed to be a top team in the NFC.
Yeah,
like, that's right. It's going to come down to which quarterbacks are going to show up when it matters. Daniel Jones, is he going to show up? Drake May, is he going to show up? Bo Nix, is he going to show up?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, is he going to show up? Jalen Hurts, can we get some points on the board?
Yeah.
These Baker Mayfield, are we going to be healthy?
That's a fact.
Like, it's going to come down to quarterback play. So we gonna see.
Yes, sir. Time for the men to be men. Time for the men to be men. My kind of ball right there. Listen, I know we've kind of running over our time here. Comments, questions, fellas. I mean, like, do y'all feel like right now with the state that the NFL is in, do y'all think that there gonna be any more surprises as we end out this season in regards to any surprise teams like the Panthers? Do you think the Panthers have an opportunity to make the playoffs? And these are just rhetorical questions you have to think on. We look at the AFC. I mean, who takes these last couple spots in the AFC? I mean, like I said, we got a potential Joe Burrow return on the way, right? We got Baltimore 5-5, the Chiefs 5-5, Houston 5-5, Jags 6-4. I mean, that last playoff spot's gonna be a push. And like I said, the Steelers, they could drop off. The Chargers, I mean, they're not playing good ball right now. So like, there's been a lot of shift in these next couple weeks. So it's gonna be really cool, like, to see how the jump plays out, because it's really been a week to week league this year. It hasn't really been like domination from anybody. In all honesty with you, like, teams are winning, yes, but like, I don't think it's really been domination from anybody.
I got a non-rhetorical question for y'all.
Okay.
Who y'all got winning next week? The Colts or the Chiefs? That's what I want.
I was getting off the show going through that bracket of like the games of week 12. So I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, I'm here to hate. Let's go, Chiefs.
Not I'm here to hate is crazy.
Yeah. Either way, I win.
You right. I'm gonna say for that, me personally, that game, I'm gonna go Colt shock the world, bro. They gotta shock the world. Huh?
3 in a row L's for the Chiefs?
Yeah, 3 in a row. And this is the game that Daniel Jones wins his contract for next season as the Colts' long-term quarterback. This is the one. This is the one. I'm telling you, Hundo. Hey, this is the one. This can be the one. If Carney come back and say, all right.
Hey, if he have another multi-turnover game, I ain't even going to be mad at it. I won't be mad one bit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be the one that solidifies Daniel Jones as the Colts quarterback for the next 4 years, for sure. 4 years, 160 on the way.
Chiefs favored by 3.5 points too right now.
Exactly. And this going to be the one, I'm telling you. 4 years, 160. Daniel Jones about to come in, handle business. And Colin will come out with his chest puffed up next week. But he going to have his quarterback.
Colin, don't be talking crazy next week. If y'all win and Daniel Jones have a good game, get that man his credit now.
I promise you. Tell him he's going to be there for 4 years, 160.
I'm expecting him to play bad, but we're going to see.
Yeah. All right, while we're here, let's go and run through week 12, fellas. All right.
Colin, who you got?
Well, go ahead. Yeah, give me yours. Game day.
Worry, Hundo don't want to follow order. I got two touchdowns, $153 from JT. Daniel Jones has a decent game. We pull it out, 23-20. I think it's going to be a close game for sure. It's going to be within that 3.5. But I think we pulled it out. I agree with John. Like, Chiefs going to come to battle because they have to win this game. But I just think that the offense is kind of stagnant and our defense is elite. So we pull it out. Carly's the one. We're going to shock the world this week.
Say no more. It's your boy 1-7 Thursday night against the Texans. Does he get the job done in Houston Thursday night? I'm an avid Bills hater, so I'm going to say the Texans win that game. What say y'all?
I got the Bills. Big, actually.
Bills, I think it's going to be ugly, though. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I think it's going to be an ugly game because the Texans actually got a defense. And like I said, the Bills ain't been looking too good. So if C.J. Stroud come to play just a little bit and put up some type of points, it should be a good game.
Okay. Say no more. Ravens, Jets.
Ravens. Jets suck. You got nothing to
think about. They're benching Justin Fields, by the way. But I got Ravens.
I didn't know that. Dang, that's funny. Yeah, they do. Yikes. All right. With new updates to Aaron Rodgers not playing Sunday, Steelers, Bears.
Let me get the Steelers. They actually looked good with Mason Rudolph yesterday. I was like, yo, why weren't they calling these plays with Aaron Rodgers? Like, they was actually moving the ball yesterday with Mason Rudolph. So let me get the Steelers.
It's in Chicago.
I don't know. But I'll go with the Bears.
I feel like I trust Mike Tomlin more than Ben Johnson right now.
Yeah, I'm an avid Steelers hater, so I'm going to go Bears as well. Bengals, Patriots.
Hey, no analysis. This is pure hate.
Pure hate. I don't want analysis on Pittsburgh. Just pure hate. Handle business, Chicago. Thank y'all. Patriots, Bengals.
No Jamar Chase.
By the way.
Oh, Patriots.
I'm going to go Patriots.
I don't know, bro. Because I truly don't trust Drake May, bro. Give me the Bengals. I just don't, bro. I just feel like he due for a bad game.
Wait, when is Joe coming back?
He's talking about Thanksgiving, but I don't think it's going to be till December.
Okay. That could be an ugly game, in all honesty. That wouldn't surprise me. It's an ugly game.
Yeah, I'm going to still go Patriots, though. Seahawks, Titans. I think that should be unanimous Seahawks.
Hey, brother, you sound a little muffled, bro.
Yeah.
My bad. Probably because of my mic over here. Next game, let's go.
What was the game you just said, though?
Yeah, Seahawks, my bad. Titans, Seahawks.
Oh, Seahawks. Easy.
You Vikings, stayed. Packers. In Green Bay, Vikings, Packers.
I don't know, man.
That's a toss-up for real.
Yeah, this is awesome. Big divisional matchup.
I'm gonna go Packers because it's in Green Bay, and I don't trust JJ. But that's gonna be an ugly one.
I trust Jettis. Let me get the Vikings.
He got to get the ball, Hunter.
Yeah. Say that's your analysis. He gonna
get the ball. JJ gonna get him the ball.
Yeah, I'm going Packers as well. I think that pass rush is gonna be tough. Now they don't get me wrong. That Vikings defense is good. That Viking defense is really good. And it's a divisional matchup. But I just don't trust JJ. I watched him. Well, I didn't watch him play live, but I watched him play against the Ravens. That kid got some work to do in the offseason. So I'm going to go Packers. Lions, Giants.
Where is it?
It's in Detroit.
That don't matter. The Giants not good, bro. Let me get the Lions. Jameis.
Jaguars. Yeah. Jaguars, Cardinals in Arizona.
Man, give me the Cardinals. We need it. That's the only reason I'm saying the Cardinals. Okay. Is Jacoby still quarterback or is it Kyler back?
Jacoby threw the ball like 50-some times yesterday, bro. They say he set a record for completions or something.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they get blown out? That's a terrible record.
I don't, they might have, but he completed 47 passes yesterday, almost 50 passes. Crazy.
Yeah, he put up some crazy numbers despite that. But let me get the Jaguars.
I'm going to go Jags, too. Browns, Raiders. We getting into that nobody cares territory.
Is Shador starting?
Shador could be starting this week because Dylan Gabriel was ruled out yesterday's game with a concussion-like symptoms. So he could be out for a game. So Shador could get his first NFL start this week.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Raiders in Vegas.
That's about to be gross.
That's what I'm saying. You get insurance that nobody cares territory. But for the sake of the pot.
But my question is, like, who wants to win? Like, both of them are like, dang.
They're not ending in a tie, I tell you that. Give me the Raiders. We going with the AFC West.
If Shador starts his game, I'm gonna take the Browns.
I mean, if Shador starts his game, I might take the Raiders.
Hey, easy Raiders money line.
I'm gonna tell you why not. Them boys still got Myles Garrett on the other side of that ball, and that is a grown man. I ain't gonna lie, that man Myles Garrett is so crazy, bro. He be giving the Ravens work every time he play us. I ain't even gonna hold
it. He had what, 4 or 5 sacks yesterday? Yeah,
4 sacks yesterday by himself in the first half.
Yeah, give me Browns. Gina do a couple picks.
Yeah, Ashton, bro. I'm like,
go crazy.
On the Brown. Okay, that's fine. Falcons, Saints in New Orleans. Michael Penix.
Cousins.
I think Kirk Cousins signs and Michael Penix is out for the rest of the season.
Kirk Cousins, let me get Falcons.
No, let me get the Saints. This is the game Raheem gets fired this week.
I'm going to go Falcons as well. I think the Saints are just abysmal as a team. And I don't, that little quarterback they got is no good. So let's go Cowboys, Eagles. Finish it off here. Cowboys, Eagles. We got 2 more games.
Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles. Rams, Bucks, Sunday Night Football in LA.
That should be a good one.
I'll go Rams. That actually is going to be interesting because do the Panthers play this week?
Panthers play Monday night in San Fran. That's the next game, last game.
Oh, yikes. I was going to say the Panthers could shock the world and be at the top of their division, but I don't know about that one. I would take San Francisco, so never mind.
I'm taking San Fran as well.
Yeah, 49ers. I don't trust the Panthers.
Not at all. I keep telling my cousins this and all the other Panthers fans. Listen, I need y'all 6-5 right now. I'm ending off the episode with some hate. I need y'all 6-5 right now. But I foresee the rest of y'all season the next 4 or 5 weeks. I decree and declare at least bare minimum 3 L's.
Hold on, who they play? They got the 49ers, they got the Rams, they got the Saints,
the Bucks twice,
the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, and the Bucks again. They might lose the rest of them games.
I told you. I literally see at least 3 L's.
Lose the rest of them games. Outside of the Saints, they already lost to the Saints once.
They lost the Saints one time, though.
They're gonna get their lick back versus they're not losing to the Saints again.
Nah, they're not losing twice. But I can see them end off this season 7-10 easily missing playoffs, second in the division, 7-10 easily. My cousins told me that they're gonna shock the world and beat the 49ers on Monday. I'm gonna tell you what I told you in the group chat, cuzzo. You've lost your mind. All right, thank y'all for tapping into the Winning Shot podcast. We appreciate all the love, the support. We appreciate y'all continuing to show us kindness as y'all continue to share the episodes and, you know, tell us to stay on our grind and stay on our pivot and what we need to do.
We appreciate y'all continuing just to listen, man. If y'all made it this far, we really rock with y'all. I know we've been trying to stay consistent and continue to get our episodes in, so we appreciate y'all rocking with us. Any questions, concerns, please let us know in the comments of our YouTube, of our TikTok, wherever you're watching this on right now. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we appreciate you. Continue to like, comment, and subscribe. Share with friends and family. We appreciate y'all here with the Winning Shot Podcast. We hope to see y'all at the next appointed time. Thank y'all so much for y'all support. Have a wonderful evening. Be blessed. Peace.
Peace.